angriest little boy in the world. I'm back. And Melanie's been on a drug-induced high, but she's back. And guess who else is back? Amy. It's all coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right, we need our lighters. Or nowadays, it's cell phones.
Cell phones.
I don't know, for some reason, I feel like it sounds a little different in the show. Than like
maybe. Time, but... Different segment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my head, I lost my head. Hey guys, welcome back. You are watching the Legion After Show. We are talking episode 9, chapter 17. I'm joined by my panel. I got Carrie Lane to my left.
What's up?
And on the other side, we got a full house. We got Ashley Brinkman.
Hey guys. Woo.
And we got Zia Anderson.
Hello.
All right,
and
ladies.
A couple of you are, real quick though, we have a live chat going on YouTube, so if you're watching this live, feel free to join us. Quite a few of you are chatting already, and Sebra said, well, that's not horrifying, referring to your mask. And Jay Becker said, ha, the world's angriest boy in the world, so they like it. And yeah, so feel free to join us in the chat. If you're watching it later, please comment down below, because there's so much to talk about on this show.
And for you guys that tuned in last week, I just wanted to say a big thanks to Tim Boggs again for coming in here and enlightening us. And if you weren't here, you didn't see it, go back and watch episode 8, season 2, Legion After Show with Tim Boggs, because he has a lot of good information about the behind the scenes. He does the sound on there. If I would have been smarter, I actually would have had him do the angriest little boys, man. Like, I don't think that kid actually has a voice, but...
I don't think he ever talked.
I would have made Tim create some cool voice. I would have done it, but instead...
It's just weird music.
Yeah,
it's always scary music.
Yeah.
Just a crazy, crazy little face. But yeah, go tune that in.
And he's so terrifying. I like actually get scared of him when I see it, but I'm just like not good with scary
It's
things.
Creepy. It's very unnerving.
That's like what you see coming out of your closet, and you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we still see those things coming out of our closets.
Yeah. Well, and then off that, sorry.
No.
Jay Becker in the chat says, Tim Boggs was amazing. What insight. So appreciate the sound even more. It's very interesting to hear it. And now, like, when you look at it, like, when you get the backstory on anything, and now when you watch. So go get enlightened.
Yeah,
everybody.
Just go watch it. Give it 5 stars and comment below and say how awesome Tim Boggs is. All right, so we are on episode 9. There are 2 episodes left of the season, and I can't remember if Tim said this was the kind of extra episode, but what I find interesting is this time around we have no reference, like we did last week, no reference to previous episodes, and this time, no Jon Hamm.
I know.
Yeah.
We got no Jon Hamm. I don't know if they couldn't afford him for this extra episode.
They didn't even do previously either.
No,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I have a feeling it was because he's in a new movie, so I think maybe he was just like, I gotta go, guys.
I guess we'll find out next week. It's kind of like, Jon Hamm, where are you, man? I mean,
I missed it.
Yeah,
I like that.
We like his little, like, or at least even at the end, you know, he gives us a little bit. But this time around, there's nothing. So I don't know if that's foreshadowing something or
maybe. Dun dun dun.
Okay.
Has it been on every single one though?
Yeah, pretty much, I want to say.
Maybe then this is,
because I feel like we always talk about, because we always, like, we open, we talk, and then we talk about Jon Hamm and his little, or at least the narrator, in terms of like what he's like kind of giving us about the episode or trying to give us a little clues or so. But this time around, there's nothing.
I was expecting it later in the episode, because sometimes he'll do that where they put it in later. It was a previous episode they did that, but nothing came.
I feel like they kind of brought it. It was like just a full circle, the whole like about Melanie. So I think maybe she was kind of.
Yeah, and I've been saying this
about her.
Yeah, I've been seeing this in predictions for about 4 weeks now, and saying, "Where is Melanie? Where is Melanie?" And finally, here is Melanie. In terms of like all the stuff that's going on with her, and pretty much instead of puffing the magic dragon, she's puffing the magic elephant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which. Seems to be the drug of choice on this show, because they had the part with Lenny too, and like that's drugs now. It's just like this vent, like vaporizer thing.
Yeah, and I kind of like, I like
it's
how they
weird, but cool. Visually, it's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good choice.
I mean,
instead of just pills or.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few times, like, other than I think when I watched Pineapple Express in the theater, where I was just like, man, I wish I just had something extra to really enjoy what I'm watching. But But I have to like try to break down this show, so like I got to be like all coherent for this. So what's cool is like, yeah, we open up and now we kind of get the, and obviously it says like 13 days earlier too, but we get at least a little brief sequence of the Melanie behind the scenes of before, as Clark comes up and like what's going on with her as she like knocks him out. And yeah, we see a lot of her just.
Or what's not going on, as in it's not all working upstairs anymore.
Yeah, I feel like her mind has finally broke. She spent all those years waiting for Oliver, and then he finally comes back. He doesn't remember her, and then she loses him again immediately.
Right away, right?
And I think that, yeah, and I think her brain just kind of snapped. And then that, in a combination with the drugs, she's just completely lost it, which is sad. That's so sad to see, because she was so strong in the last season, and she's been kind of reduced to such... Oh, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, she's been kind of reduced to such a broken character. But I get it. I do. She's been through a lot.
Yeah, because we looked at, like, last season, especially when Carrier and I were on the season one panel, like, yeah, she was a leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was a leader. Like, she was, like, the creme de la creme of getting everybody to do stuff, yeah, and all that. And now she's pretty much, yeah, been absent. And like you said, she's broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Her little drug den in her room.
Well, you know what? I forgot to ask this, by the way, ladies. What did each of you think of this episode?
Oh.
Ashley?
Oh. Hot spot. Okay. I liked it. I'm glad we got to see Melanie because we were all wondering what was going on with her. And she kind of flew under the radar, but I guess she's going to be instrumental to Farouk. I feel like he got into her head because mm-hmm. there was somewhere in the beginning of the episode or the end maybe where he said it finally happened or something like that. Him or Oliver said something, but yeah, I like it. I hope she overcomes it and is not like a puppet of his.
Yeah. Zia, what do you think?
Oh, I love this episode. I feel like everything's starting to come into place. All of David's little triggers are starting to happen. And I like that they split each group off and was going between. So it was Melanie and Oliver, and then we had the Carries, and then there was Lenny with her, well, drug house. I like that they did that and split it up into like three sort of different stories, and we're going back and forth. That was fun.
Caroline?
I like catching up on people. That was nice, especially we get Amy back in the game in a new way, which I really liked. Kind of thoughts on what was happening, and I kind of am like, ooh, interesting. Broke Blackman 94 says
best handle ever. I would go up there and like steal like Broke Blackman 93, but just doesn't sound as good.
I think Oliver told Melanie his plan to defeat the Shadow King as mentioned by in episode 5, and she is the plan, which I kind of was wondering that too. Either he told her a plan or her behavior itself is the plan.
I didn't even
like
think about that.
David,
I
like David was like, yeah, I'm not telling everybody everything because then Farouk would figure it out.
Right.
So maybe.
So she's like a sleeper
agent. I like
agent.
It. Good stuff.
I mean, like what, 2 or 3 episodes ago where it was centered on Dave, all the different versions of David. It's kind of a crazy episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, at least Zia, you weren't here yet. Ashley, you were here. Carrie and I were not here. But I want to say like with this episode, it was pretty linear. Like, yes. A lot of the times when we're watching Legion, we're kind of like, okay, we're not sure. We still haven't, I mean, it's episode 9. We still don't know what the freaking cow is.
No. Yeah. Yeah, or the Minotaur.
And the Minotaur.
Minotaur.
But I think, the Minotaur thing is definitely going to come into play. I don't know if that cow will ever, I mean, it's
no,
stupid.
Probably.
We've got to ask.
Either I feel that could be something totally ignored or they'll come back to it. Like, it really feels like the show would be like...
Maybe. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, we're always, like, thinking deep and trying to look for the little Easter eggs.
Right.
Whereas this one, yeah, it seemed pretty straightforward.
I wonder if they're going to be explained kind of like the evil kid. Like, it's in someone's mind and it's being projected and people can see it for some sort of reason. Confusion or delusion.
Sure.
Or,
yeah.
We'll see.
Did we notice, and I didn't have a theory on it, but I'd like to know your guys' thoughts, did you notice how it went letterbox?
Yes.
In and out during the whole episode.
It did that the last episode once, and I noticed it do it again in this episode as well.
I felt it did it.
Carrie is a nerd. normally I notice that stuff too, and I did not. That's cool.
I did.
I just, because you can see it move.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did because you pointed it out last episode. That's why. And so were this there, episode, I was like, hey.
Well, then, but were there any specific, or you guys let us know, were there any specific scenes that we were kind of like, okay, when it had this character in it when it was doing it, or...
If I had to say, my first thought was I think it was a lot more of Lenny's scenes, but I'm not totally sure. Leave comments down below. When did the letterbox switch? So if you guys, in basic terms, when the black bars show up and go away? Because it was very obvious of like, it's shifting. And that was strange. Sorry, I'm just looking at anybody.
All right. So we have...
Oh, theory on the Minotaur from the chat. Renji says, Minotaur represents the psyche lost in the labyrinth of the mind, reaching to the point of insanity.
That's amazing. All right.
I like that one too.
I'll take that. Yeah. Very good.
Okay. I mean, so Melanie's in her induced purple haze or elephant haze, and she's with, so the first person that comes and visits her at least 13 days earlier is Sid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that from a previous episode. Mm-hmm. It was that same. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's pretty much just kind of, I shouldn't say man bashing necessarily, but just kind of
a little bit,
a little bit, you know, to Sid and just, you know, kind of just saying like, yeah, these guys that we seem to be in our lives and they have this power are not fun to be in relationships with.
Yeah. And also she's, you know, in a relationship with one and it just seems she wants like a bash session and Sid's just not into it.
She's like, nope.
Yeah. She was hoping to have someone to commiserate with and Sid wasn't playing her game and she was just like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I like that she used the, she said that vacant lot is like the saddest words in like the English language.
Which is interesting because I feel that's emptiness, but it's also hopeful because you can buy the vacant lot and make something new. But I guess that depends on your perspective going in. I don't know.
Very true.
We were talking about it beforehand. I forget which one of you pointed out. Sydney disappears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she gets the kettle, she's gone. And Melanie's still talking to her.
Yeah, as if she was still there, which was interesting.
So one of those things, right? Was she there? Was she not there? Or is it just a passing of time? Like, she's still kind of rattling things off and then finally, like, noticing, like, oh, Sid was gone a while ago.
Right.
But I've been in this induced haze. So I'm just going to keep rattling on and doing whatever
sense.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen that in movies, like drug movies sometimes, where like someone's not really like there anymore, but the person's still.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they come to and they're like, oh, I'm talking to no one.
It's been 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seb Russ kind of agrees that might just be Melanie lost her grasp on time. Also, Jay Becker points out Sid and Melanie, what's up with Teapot in both scenarios in their rooms? Because Sid does the tea a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's similarities true. Between the ladies and waiting. You're waiting for the water to boil.
Waiting for your guy.
Yeah. Waiting for your guy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. And then we see like Oliver kind of, you know, like, my body lies over the ocean, you know, kind of coming in and.
Well, I feel like that's all Farouk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I was thinking also.
Yeah.
Do you think Farouk in an Oliver image or Farouk sending Oliver to go get Melanie?
I think sending Oliver because he pretty much has control over Oliver. So
wasn't Oliver there recently enough that I thought that was part of that timeline, but maybe that was even further back. Like, remember when Oliver broke in and was there and they stole the thing?
Oh,
but I feel
that
was maybe further behind.
Yeah. Because
she never physically touches him, so he could just be a projection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
they did touch this time, though.
At the end, right?
No, during the song, he like takes her hands and puts them on his chest.
Then I would say he's there. Really good mental projection.
So then, what do you think? What do you ladies think of the whole kind of Melanie? We have like present. I'm not going to say old Melanie. I'm going to say present Melanie, and then younger Melanie. The kind of like the swapping in and out, kind of like that.
I mean, I was surprised to see that. And also, it gives you a visual of how long ago she lost him. Because she was, I mean, I know that it had been a long time, but I didn't realize that she was a young woman when he was off in the astroplane. And then you see that she'd been waiting for all of those years. And so I kind of understand why he didn't recognize her when he first came back. Because it had been so long. She didn't look like the same person.
Ooh, that's really good. I just kept thinking, you know, he was like, oh, I have a wife. Is she Chinese or is she Japanese? So the fact that she wasn't Asian at all is.
Probably his mind was lost.
Well,
and
yeah
it's been
too.
Probably, let's say she's in her 20s in the young
yeah,
form.
That's what it
and now
like.
She's older. I'm like, but, you know, it could be like 30 years or something.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say that she said in the thing, this is later on when she's talking to Carrie, which we'll get to in a little bit, like the female Carrie.
Yeah.
She said like he was like in there like 21 years in an ice cube. Mm-hmm. So it's been about 21
okay.
years.
Oh, okay.
So if you're actually looking so for like actual like number like whatever, but yeah. I mean like, but they have a conversation and she's, you know, and he was like saying, you know, she's like, I've been waiting for you. And then he was like, well, you should have just burned me and met me in like the cosmic place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or followed.
Yeah. And you could see she was really put off by that
word. Yeah. Yes.
She was like followed. And I feel like kind of in this episode, she goes back and forth a lot between really loving Oliver and wanting to be with him, but mm-hmm. also being just fed up by everything. And so she's constantly like, what about me? And then still she goes back to him. So that was interesting.
Well, I mean, plus it's like you said at the beginning, the top of the hour, which I liked, was about how she waited. And then finally yeah. when he was there within reach, kind of back, he was gone again.
Gone again, yeah.
But that would go back to your comment earlier. This has been like, that's kind of the final
straw.
That yeah. broke, yep.
Yeah, broke like, the camel that broke the, or the straw that broke the camel's back.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And then Jay Becker, Farouk always takes his quote unquote guests like Lenny and Melanie over and Oliver to that pool.
He loves the pool.
But that's his astro plan. It's very like zen and chill. Like, I mean, mine would be a version. My astro plan would probably be a version of that.
Just relaxing.
I imagine somewhere mm-hmm. in France.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
It's on the Riviera.
Yeah. Yeah. but I love that he changes and she sees her younger self, because it really starts to mess with her mind, and mm-hmm. she doesn't know really like, when is it, who am I, who was I then, who am I now, and like she has so many choices to make, and that's probably why she pulled the gun on him, and why she's you know so confused. And that
I thought she pulled the gun because she's like, you're not my Oliver.
Oh, she thought okay. he was Farouk. Yeah.
Well, might not know that it's him per se, but be like, you're not Oliver.
But it's like, but we saw the same thing, right? We saw the same thing with David and Sid. Mm-hmm. You're not my Sid.
Mm-hmm. With the future Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We kind of saw that same kind of conversation ish. Hence why the women talking at the top of the, like top of the episode and. Not enjoying their men and their relationships and everything. I mean, come on, guys. I'm out. Yeah, I'm outmanned here. Literally, I'm outmanned here. So it's like I gotta be thoughtful about what I'm saying. You know, I mean, okay. So the next visitor that Melanie has is female Carrie. And do we ever really see a point where female Carrie and Melanie were ever bonding or talking in like the seasons? I don't.
No.
Kind of like another.
Carrie's not normally out.
Right.
She's normally only for fighting and then went in, but now she's been stuck out. Also, we were talking about it while we were watching. Did you notice how Carrie is not lit at all? She's all in shadow. And Sid, mm-hmm. we don't see her face either. So the question is if they're really there. Because Melanie's lit. Like, you can see her face, but Carrie's all in these shadows the whole time she's there.
But her character is still very Carrie. Like, she was not having her pity party at all. No. She was like, what are you talking? Like, she was getting up to leave. She's like, I'm done with you. I'm done with this.
Well, I love that they both Sid and her brother's like, dude, when are you coming back to work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come back
to
work.
We need you.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's just maybe like a difference between what reality they're in. Like, Melanie's in kind of like Lala Elephant, Magic Elephant Land.
True.
And they're kind of in this like, D3, it's a dark building, and they're like actually in the right place, but
or they just don't even register for her, and that's why she can't see them.
That's a great thought.
Literally,
yeah,
because it's like they're there, but she's just kind of in her loop of thoughts.
Mm. Well, what do you ladies think of her kind of whole thoughts on male Carrie, female Carrie, and their relationship?
The delusion. I don't think she understands their relationship. Most people don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she says, like, maybe male Carrie wants to be a strong female. Mm.
Sensual.
Which
female? Which is interesting.
Sensual, yeah. Okay.
I suppose it's possible, but it seems more like they're just one in the same, best friends. They have that sort of, like, connection where they're together. They're one, but they're two. And they're, like, each a... I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this into words.
Well, they're trying to understand their relationship and their dynamic. Right. It's like they haven't filled us in too much yet. Like they started mm-hmm. the beginning of the season kind of, you know, like with female Carrie starting to poop and eat right. food and crave sugars. And, you know, they right. kind of like explored that. But then we've kind of gotten sidetracked from that with Farouk and the monk and Fukuyama and all that stuff in the center. So like that part of exploring their relationship is kind cool. of been pushed aside for now.
Right. I love the Chinese dinner conversation though, of like the just expressions. You're being blue, too much time on your hands.
Yeah, we'll get
she
that.
Took everything we'll get there.
No,
so
no, but
literally.
In terms of their relationship.
Yeah.
But,
or I mean, here's the other thing. It's just like, yeah, or he is her fantasy.
Yeah.
He's your delusion.
Mm-hmm. Seb Russ in the chat says, seeing how childlike Carrie is great. She can't grasp the higher mental concept Melanie was trying to throw at her.
All right. Well, so before we get into male Carrie and female Carrie, maybe someone that can straighten this out is our fearless leader. Carrie, can you
speaking of Carrie, in? Yes. We've got a little quick thing to tell you all about. You want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? So for those of you who do, we have a podcast just for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops on iTunes every Friday. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and let her know it was the Legion panel who sent you there.
And then I'm going to talk to her about Legion. Then I'm going to ask her about the female Carrie and the male Carrie and ask her to explain it to me and give me advice about how I should be understanding what's going on. So, okay, so now we do see the two of them having their conversation, and right there,
conversation was so funny when they both get the visions. Yeah. And like, did you? I did. And that was just, I think that's adorable when they're like that. They're like twins, you know, it's like this magic connection.
There it is. You put it into words. They're like twins. They're like two halves into a whole.
There we go.
Where like twins have like their own type of language.
Yeah. And they just know when the other, something's wrong with the other one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have that kind of mental connection. Yeah. And emotional.
Male Carrie always gets, gets playful with female Carrie. Like he gets like playful, facial expressions, and he doesn't really get that way with anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I really, really love that.
Well, because so part sweet. Of it is like their development as we learn, like she developed from him when he was a kid early on. So mm-hmm. it's almost a little bit like the imaginary friend that actually comes mm-hmm. to life. So yeah. like I think that's yeah. why like you're yeah, yeah I think maybe like that's why like he's got the expressions of like, oh yeah, here's my friend where our bond will never break. And then she's so, as we talked about, she's so innocent.
Yeah.
Where like you have conversations with her and there's just certain things that she doesn't seem to.
Oh, like when he says, doesn't get when he's like, I'm going to die. And she's and that was like, so sad.
Really sad. It's such like a little kid response. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm gonna beat them up. Like, yeah. of course,
right.
Like,
I'm gonna save you.
Or she takes it literally. It's like, well, you know, you're feeling blue, and it's like, what? No, and he says, no, it's a figure of speech.
And then she's like, well, then why'd you say it?
Well, then here's my question: is he foreshadowing something?
That he's gonna die?
Oh.
I thought he was dying. Like he has.
So you think that he is?
I thought he didn't necessarily. Well, he said like I will someday, but then I was concerned that he has some ailment of some sort.
Because it's not the first time he's brought it up, and he always he's not old enough, unless he's trying to give a lot of leeway, being like,
true.
Slowly as the years go on. Look, so this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he has a certain look on his face. I actually agree with that, where he looks very sad and very intense.
Yeah.
More so than somebody preparing for death, like, years down the road.
Yeah, it seemed more imminent. And then a good point, too. Seb Russ in chat points out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally agreed. It was interesting to see how each of them views their brains. Male Carrie speaks about my head, and then Carrie corrects him and says, our head. And then Carrie nice talks catch. About mm-hmm. male Carrie talks about separation, and female Carrie straight up can't grasp the concept, which is true.
And it's convenient that she can't go back into his body. Like she has to learn how to be a person.
Have we determined that's 100% permanent?
I don't think so yet.
Yeah.
But there's as of now, kink. I don't think it can happen.
Do you think maybe that's why he's dying?
I was wondering that
maybe
too.
Maybe she's like the
his life force.
Yeah, kind of like his fountain of youth, mm-hmm. where like that's mm-hmm. what. But since her essence is gone from his body, that's what's maybe draining whatever clock body, you know, time Could clock be? Or yeah, that keeps him.
So sad.
Because some of his soul is.
No, but that's a great. Yeah, that's a great comment.
Hey, what do you guys think? This goes, I guess, more into predictions or whatever, but I'm just going to ask really quick is, would we like that? Would we like what? Not having the male Carrie
no.
in the show anymore?
No.
Right?
No.
He's still, okay, yeah. good.
I love both of them, yeah. and he's so good. I'm like, no, and they're great together. And it's like, no, that'd be horrible.
Okay. So, yes, when they're talking, it's like, okay, so we get the blue neon octopus.
Yes, that's super funny.
And then as Legion loves to do, and we've finally just kind of given up. I mean, Carrie and I, and like when Yale was here, we kind of just gave up on trying to figure out the timeline. But it's that old like 1970s suitcase, mm-hmm. to mess with us in terms of like, yes. where are they? In terms of like actual time and decades, we have no freaking clue. But
no idea.
But those two things are essential to the plan that David has.
The suitcase and
mm-hmm. the neon blue, the blue octopus.
Yes.
Kind of like where they need to be or where they need to go. Or
yeah, he must have known. That's amazing because David must have known that Lenny was going to be there, so he must have
lured her there.
Yeah, or just knew. Her first
all
move.
The puzzle pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, before we go into Lenny, I just want to let you guys know, thank you for watching. And remember, if you cannot watch with us now, because I realize some people are on different time zones. And
thank
some
you
people,
for staying up late.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you guys can always download us on iTunes. Please give us 5 stars. The other ones don't work. And if you do, we'll give you a big shout out like we always do every week anyways, because we appreciate everybody that watches, chimes in, comments, because Legion is such a crazy show that goes all over the place. So like any little tips, clues, puzzle pieces is always much appreciated. So let's get to the last part of the show, which was really, really cool. I mean, especially now, me being a guy and outmanned on this show, I appreciated this part of the show is we have Lenny and Amy, which I like to call Lammy. You know, and of course, mm-hmm. Lenny goes off into, I guess we get some like backstory of like where Lenny likes to party. And yes. we've known this, but now we actually get to see Lenny partying.
She's a legend.
Oh, yeah.
She's the queen.
The cornflake girl. The cornflake girl. The original Cracker Jack toy and the treat. I love that. Like,
it's like, oh, man. Yeah. I liked when she later also was like, yeah, this body's much healthier than my other one.
Like, oh, no. You're going to destroy it.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. There's just like, it's like, are you the new Barbara, or whatever? And it's just like, no, I'm the new Janie. I mean, they're just like, just constant. It's like, I was that, but I'm this, and that person was that, but the
super side track. But it was like, oh, good point. Sebras in the chat says someone on Reddit mentioned that we get a sort of timeline hint. Oliver went to the astral plane when Mumbai was called Bombay pre 1995, and then came out after.
Okay.
Though this world does not quite look around like the 90s or 2000s, I like that they blend the styles.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like they drop hints, but it's still like I still don't trust it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't trust, you know, like, I mean, they could literally sit there and say 1957. I would still be like, yeah, but when was that 1957? Is it in this our timeline? Is it like
maybe
a flash?
It's a different universe, so they all look different.
Yeah, exactly. Alternate exactly.
timeline. But yes, back to Lenny.
Lenny,
drug queen.
Lenny partying it. I mean, just party.
I mean, that's a true addict there. She gets free, and the first thing she does is she's like, let's go to the old drug house.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets there, and it's funny because she bursts in, and she's expecting everyone to be like, Lenny! And everybody's obviously in their drug stupor. And it takes, you know, a while for them to be like, the cornflake queen.
The cornflake queen.
Like, oh my gosh, guys, wake up.
And they were all smoking out of different little versions of the elephant, which was really cool. But I want to know, what is it? What are you guys doing?
Well, someone pointed out, too, like, vaping is a thing we do more now. So maybe it's just heightened form of that, possibly.
I mean, yeah, and this is the area where we see our friend from the beginning of the show, the angriest boy in the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is creepy that she sees it.
Yeah, and then there's also the whole, you know, she asks like one of the guys, it's like, this is where David Singh kind of comes in for a second. She's just like, did you see an octopus? He's just like, I saw an ocelot.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I thought you said that. Yeah. No, the eyes. I like your eyes. They're new.
Yeah, that so was like, creepy. Ah! That
was super creepy. I love the small details, though. Like, her eyes are now new. Blue, the car was blue, the octopus mm-hmm. was blue, the car and octopus were for Lenny.
Yeah.
I like it. It's good. This show's super detailed. You have to, like, pay attention to every little thing.
Except for the druggy girl, who she doesn't pay attention to any details.
No.
Yeah. She's just total space cadet.
Yeah. So while they're partying,
yeah.
This is her first time she's seeing Amy?
Like, yeah. I don't think she's seen Amy yet.
Well, when she right. shows up.
Yeah. Like, she yeah. sees her, like, laughing in the party. Yeah, and then she actually like shows image. Up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, is this how you're just going to pop up? Is this how it was when you were in David's mind?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So is now Amy's trapped there somehow, it seems like.
Well, because technically it's Amy's body.
It's Amy's body, yeah. So what happened to her consciousness?
Yeah. Well, I like someone way earlier was commenting how they like knew this Amy better, which I agree. I kind of like her being more sassy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it was Renji in the chat was saying, did we? And then this is everybody else too, or sorry, I forget who said it. Were we getting any kind of a flirtatious-y vibe? That's a new word, flirtatious-y. Vibes between Amy and Lenny.
I thought that a little bit when she was crawling on her in the bed.
Yeah. But then she's trying to kill her and...
No. When Amy goes up to Lenny on the bed.
I think she's just messing with her because she knows that Lenny likes the ladies.
I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah.
It's more just a...
Yeah, it's a power play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's messing with her. I think she's... I mean, she's literally in her head, but trying to get in her head and freak her out and kind of have control over her that way.
And she's kind of giving her a push into getting her to do what David wants her to do. Mm. So she's also kind of looking out for David. Even
I think so too, yeah.
Now that she's, you know, not there, she's still there.
And she's doing it in a sassy way, the way that we want her to do it. I like this new Amy too.
Because before she seemed more like nagging. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. this one's more... I'm going to get under your skin. Or the word repeats, that was like almost creepy too. Mm-hmm.
That was really creepy. Was
very, well, yeah. I mean, there's a couple, there's a couple things with that too, right? I mean, number one, if someone stole your body, you'd be pretty pissed off if you're still, yes. your consciousness yes. still, you'd be pretty pissed off, number
Not
one.
Not giving up yeah. easy.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of like Get Out, right? It's kind of like a little bit like Get Out at times, yeah. like the person behind comes forward. And then the other half of it is, she... Maybe pieces of Lenny, that sassiness that
affected her?
Yeah. Maybe just a little bit because she's in, you know, she's Lenny's there too. So maybe it's like half, a little bit of like pieces of that too to make her stand out better than, I agree. Like, I like this version of Amy. Yeah. That version of Amy was boring. I thought that she was gone.
Yeah.
So knowing that, okay, if we're going to bring this character back in some form, then this one's more exciting to watch.
She even just has a more commanding presence. Like, Lenny's on the bed mm-hmm. and just like, oh, well, if I told you it's not my fault, would that be any better? And she's like, no. And just had that, like,
yeah.
I'm in charge and I'm not going to give up easily vibe, which I really liked. Also, I do. You made me think of it. I'm like, well, let's go rewind. Anybody ever read Animorphs?
Oh, my gosh. Yes,
I was like, the Yurks in the brain. That's even worse of taking over. You're like, nope. It was an alien slug that crawled in your ear and wrapped around your brain, and you couldn't even control when you blinked.
Ooh.
Well, I'm thinking about the xenomorph from Alien.
No. Animorphs.
Animaniacs? Anyone?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so now, but then here's the whole thing. So, like, then Amy finally drops, like, this, like, crazy, weird little twist type thing uh-huh. about, well, you love David. You know, and then she's like saying, he's like, it's kind of like, it's like, you have a chance or something.
Oh, yeah. She's dangling the carrot.
Yeah.
She wants her to do it. Amy's, you know, aiming with. Oh, yeah.
And you saw her change too. Like, her body language changed, and she's like, he needs me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what about Sid? What's her name? Mm-hmm. Sydney. So that was odd. Because at first I thought when she said, oh, you love him, that. Like, sort of platonically, because they've been together for so long, mm-hmm. and she's gay. She's mentioned that before. And then when she brought up her jealousy of Sid, I was like, oh, was it more than that? Which would be interesting.
Maybe it's more, a couple people are suggesting maybe it's mutual affecting each other. So what if Amy's brother-sister love is affecting...
Oh, like I was talking about before, yeah. Where, okay, version of what I was just talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I think Lenny likes to be needed from him because he needed her before and now she's like, he needs me.
And they were friends in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she probably
has
deep feelings for him. But with Amy's, like, actual love, she probably has, like, new feelings
it's
for him.
It's enhanced.
It's enhanced, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
And why would she be jealous of Sid? That's also interesting.
Well, did she strictly say she was gay or bi?
I thought she said she liked women in another episode.
But even if she says that she likes women, it doesn't necessarily mean that she doesn't like dudes. Yeah.
True. That's also true.
Broke Black Man 94 to her.
Huh? Sid's not very nice to her, so...
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Brokeblackman94 says, I got the bi vibe. I thought she was more bi.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
I can see that.
But Brokeblackman94, I'm assuming you're a dude like me, and so that's kind of...
Hey, no bi erasure here. It exists. Because we don't see her with anybody else, so I mean, and it could be the thing where maybe she prefers women, but like David's somebody that's important to her.
Or just even if it's a power play, right? It's just don't like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So important in his life.
Yeah. So then, you know what? So then Lenny, whatever little piece that David put in Lenny, Lenny's finally, we see Lenny going with the plan, and which I think is freaking hilarious because she ends up taking the car and the suitcase, and then whenever she goes to the desert, it putters out like a crappy car would.
Well, it was a teleportation vehicle.
Yeah, I know, but I just think it's funny. Just like, you know, how you would think like an old crappy car just putters out and just has the back smoke and everything. That's exactly how it dies.
And then catches on fire.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I loved her walking over and kicking it, and it's still one shot. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I was wondering how close they would let her get to it and try to grab it. Which, side note on fashion, I loved her high-waisted pants. Most people can't wear those very well, and she looked really cool.
Yeah, yep. I agree.
Like, how walking right from the flaming car, she's just like, oh, badass.
How did you guys feel about the car just bloop, disappearing?
That was super cool.
That was really cool.
I liked the Carrie's reactions because they were like, oh, this is awesome. And they're like, a car is gone. But that was cool.
But they have a tracking device.
They have a tracking device, so they know where to go.
Mm-hmm. So they know where to go. Lenny's on Lenny's way, part of David's plan.
Yes.
But now what we don't have is Clark was a part of this plan. So Clark's been hit over the head. So is that one piece going to be dire? Does Clark eventually get himself where he needs to be?
Well, he's part of David's plan.
Which...
He was on last episode. He was part of it. But I don't know what his part is, but he's on it.
Well, before we go to predictions, Carrie's going to give us some shout-outs to the people that are in the chat right now.
Got Xavier Jones talking about some possible Melanie Easter eggs. Write some more of that, because I'm like, what? Tell me more. Seb Russ, Brokeblackman94, and Renji. Jean Ann's been quiet, but said a couple things here and there. It's so fun when everybody has the discussions and then joins us. So thank you so much for staying up late or early, depending on wherever you are. And if you didn't join us live, no problem. Comment down below.
Steve in the booth, do you have the predictions for me? there we go.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
This is very Legion-esque. Which one of you ladies wants to start with predictions for episode 10, chapter, I guess would be 18?
Wait, so second to last, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I'm a little ahead of myself, but like, yeah, we see, as Lenny is on Lenny's way, she comes up on a version of the monks that kind of look like Fukuyama, but they're just square, not the baskets. It's like they're like square heads, so.
I thought they looked like almost TV heads.
Okay.
Like literally a TV, but I don't know. I don't know if it's quite a prediction, but back with Clark. Jay Becker in the chat says, Clark's was part of going with the robot people and D3 and guns. So providing, well, because he shows up with a Vermillion, which we saw, or, well, that's part of David's plan. I don't know. Predictions.
I don't know. I feel like David's plan is definitely ruined because Clark was knocked out. And now he has something that he, unless he did account for this, which I guess I wouldn't be surprised at all. But he's not also accounting for Melanie possibly working for Farouk. And then also they're all leaving D3. And Farouk was talking about going back to find there to find the monk. So is he going to go back to an empty when everybody's gone? And then are they going to have to go back there and face him? There's just so much that could happen.
But Farouk doesn't really need the monk anymore, right?
Because the monk knew where
the body is. So like now he knows that he's got to go to Le Desolée for the body. So the monk's kind of, in some ways, I'm not trying to ruin your, but like
no.
The monk's kind of,
which I thought that too, but then he mentioned, wasn't it in this episode he mentioned that he had to go find the monk?
I thought I heard that.
He was asking Melanie about the monk, but I think that was our 13 days ago.
Oh, okay.
He's like, so do
it was
you know
the
about
pool scene.
Monk? Yeah.
So he still knows where he's going to. Okay, that makes more sense. So he's not going to go back there, but they're still going to all meet in the desert. So yeah, I feel like this plan is just going to be chaos and pandemonium because Clark's not there and Melanie's there. So there's like two things that he didn't quite account for.
I'll go the opposite. I think David has a contingency plan for a couple options.
I hope so.
Like he'll maybe do, okay, cool. And plan B. Or be able to switch to a plan B.
Yeah. Which,
like switch on the spot.
Yeah.
I feel like that too. I think the Melanie situation is really going to throw him off. But I did see the preview for next week. Mm-hmm. And we do see he has Oliver chained up. And I don't think he's actually going to hurt Oliver, but I think he's going to confront Farouk. And, like, they're actually going to, I don't know, something's going to happen. It's just, I don't know, there's so much going on. It's so hard to predict.
There's Legion.
Yeah. Anything could happen at any time. I'm wondering if Lenny's going to fulfill her duty or mess up in some way because it's Lenny. Like, we'll see.
Or maybe Farouk still, because it's, like, because Lenny was like saying like I'm back, but and you guys kind of know that I'm me, but Farouk sent me back.
Oh right.
So like so your prediction in terms of like saying that maybe like yeah
is
Lenny
she gonna
could
have a
foil...
battle between her controlled being controlled by Farouk and Amy, and she's gonna have to like maybe finally make a choice on her own. Who knows?
Yeah. I feel Amy's gonna be a big part, bigger part
for Lenny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And help guide her. What about you?
Well, this one for me is last year, season one, chapter 7 is where they put all the stuff together that we've been wondering about episodes 1 through 6. So now we're going into episode 10. So I'm thinking that any little weird questions that we have or we've had all gets answered in episode 10, which will lead into an episode 11 where we see the epic battle.
I want to know when Sid loses her arm. Maybe it's next episode.
Yes.
It looked dirty in the review. That's what I'm saying. It could be coming.
Yes, everything's
next
tied together.
Episode of why she has the gimp arm.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that, but she's missing part of her arm. Mm-hmm.
And if this is when we're going to see a change in David, because she also mentioned...
He did look different. I mean, we're seeing the preview for next time, but he did seem different.
And Sid is saying in the, I think it was a previous episode, that I miss seeing you this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder when that change happens, if it's going to be this season or next season.
Yeah, like, I mean, I want to see all the characters come together.
Yeah.
If it's not...
Patonomy, too.
That's what I'm saying. Patonomy, Clark, Melanie, Oliver, like everybody that's kind of been pieced about, all them coming together. If it's not... episode 10, then definitely episode 11. Otherwise, I feel like it leads it to be a little weird if, you know, Patami's just stuck in the mainframe and...
And they don't do anything with it, Good question.
Yeah.
I feel this show's... there's things you can predict, but so much of it is so random, it's like...
I predict Jon Hamm will be...
Episode 10? He'll put all the clues together, too.
Will it be a long segment or short segment? Because the last time it was pretty short.
Probably short. I feel like there's so many things that need to be tied up.
Mm-hmm.
Too many loose ends.
Yeah.
Maybe the last one will be a long one. because that would be the last wrap it up thing.
And just a long episode in general, so they can cram a little more in there.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Question. Well, they did add an extra episode, so kind of.
Yeah. And this used more footage, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why John Hamm wasn't available. All right. Yeah. All right. So, Ashley Brinkman, where can everybody find you?
Oh, at Ashley_Brinkman. And it was lovely, guys. Have a good night. Thanks for being here.
And Zia, where can everybody find you?
I am on Instagram at Zialand, or Zia_land. Sorry. Thank you, everybody.
And then, are you on any other shows here at AfterBuzz?
Oh, yeah. I'm also, so you can catch me Thursday nights. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on the Archer After Show. Would love to see you all there.
Nice.
Carrie Lane?
Yes, you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And I have a lot of shows, so just go on Twitter, because otherwise. But also, I'll be posting it soon. I'm competing in the Collaboration Filmmakers Challenge and just finished my short film, and I'll be posting that online once next week, because then we'll find out if we got in or not.
Awesome. Hey, guys, I'm Rick Hong. You guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. Until next week, there are two episodes left. We will see you same day, same time, same place. Bye!
See ya!
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.